All right, y'all, welcome to the show. As you can see, I'm in New York today, in the New York studio. But we got a lot of stuff to get to, man. I'll be back in D.C. shortly. By the way, Crystal Kyle and friends this week, we have on Anthony Fantano, the number one music reviewer online. We're going to talk about the Drake versus Kendrick beef, which is something that's been... I've been really interested in it all along, so I want to talk to somebody who's kind of like an expert on it. So definitely check that out. You could subscribe to Crystal Kyle and friends below. But we got a lot of stuff to get to today. So the IDF has repeatedly bombed aid workers. We have some new numbers on this. It gives you a sense of just how intentional it is. We have Morning Joe caught lying about deaths in Gaza, trying to undercount it to make Israel look better. We know how biased MSNBC and Morning Joe in particular has been in favor of Israel. Yes, I'll be discussing what is definitely going to be my favorite story of the day, which is Bill Burr absolutely dressing down Bill Maher, just humiliating him repeatedly to his face. We have an off-the-rails Israel debate on Piers Morgan. We have Michael Cohen telling all in court about Trump's crimes, some Jon Stewart stuff later, and then some devastating new polls. So without any further ado, we'll jump into it. Everybody do me a big favor, subscribe to the channel. It helps out big time, costs you absolutely nothing. We're trying to get to 10 million subs so I could put that beautiful plaque behind me, and you guys can look at it as I ramble and babble. All right, let's dive into it. So this is from Human Rights Watch, guys. Israelis attacking known aid worker locations. Israeli forces have carried out at least 8 strikes on aid workers' convoys and premises in Gaza since October 2023, even though aid groups have provided their coordinates to the Israeli authorities to ensure their protection. Human Rights Watch said today, Israeli authorities did not issue advance warnings to any of the aid organizations before the strikes, which killed or injured at least 31 aid workers and those with them. More than 250 aid workers have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. So stop and think about this, guys, because these numbers are just absolutely astonishing. There's been 8 direct attacks on aid workers. And in those instances, Human Rights Watch or Amnesty International or Doctors Without Borders or the Red Cross or all, you know, all these different aid organizations, they call the IDF. They directly speak to them. They say, hey, guys, we're going to do this humanitarian mission and give these people food or give these people medical care or whatever. Here's our coordinates. We're giving this to you so you don't attack, so you know it's us, so you know it's not Hamas. This is what they're doing. And what has Israel done? 8 separate times. They take the information, and then they go do an attack on the aid workers. This is no oopsie. If you think this is an oopsie, you're an idiot. What they're doing is killing aid workers, and the reason they're killing aid workers is because they want to starve Gazans, they want to ethnically cleanse Gaza, they view the aid workers as getting in the way of that. They view them as on the side of Palestinians, working with Palestinians. And the IDF has a mindset of collective punishment against all Palestinians. So in their minds, sorry, you guys are with the enemy and you're fair game. Now, remember, guys, we know this. There's been plenty of reporting on this. And Joe Biden is still sending money and weapons. In fact, here, I'll show you. This is a new one. This is a new one from the Wall Street Journal. This came out just the other day. Biden moves forward on $1 billion in new arms for Israel. The administration notifies Congress of a large arms package after withholding shipment of bombs last week. So $1 billion in new weapons deals for Israel. So for those of you who don't remember, last week there was a story that came out like, oh, Biden is holding up weapons to Israel. But if you read the specifics, it said only these 2 very specific kinds of weapons or bombs. He's holding up those particular ones. Now, why did he do that? He did that for PR purposes. For marketing purposes, so he can turn around to the protesters and his base and say, hey, I know you guys are against us sending all this stuff to Israel. Look, we did. We cut off a bunch of stuff. That's what he was doing. But if you're stopping the shipment of 2 kinds of weapons, when you send 50 different kinds of weapons, you're still sending 48. So what are we even talking about here? And then here we are a week later, and even that appears to be out the window. Here's $1 billion more. You guys just released a report that said, yeah, Israel's committing war crimes. Israel's violating international law, but we're still going to send them money and weapons. You just released a report saying they're doing crimes. then you ignore it, send more weapons, and at the same time, we get the story that they're purposefully targeting aid workers. All right, more for you. This is an amazing back and forth that you're about to see here. Listen to this.
We have yet to see any kind of major operation into Rafah.
And we have Israeli politicians saying that they want to see Gaza being erased off the map. We have Israeli politicians saying that they are going to move back in and recolonize Gaza with the people of Gaza or not. Do you hear any echoes on that from language that you've used about other conflicts from that platform?
So we have been pretty clear that that kind of rhetoric has really no place in the discourse as we talk about this region of the world. I will also say that some of those things, they are inconsistent with what our viewpoints and beliefs are for the day after this conflict. We are not for a reoccupation of Gaza by Israel. Ultimately, what we want to see is a Gaza that is reunited under the Palestinian Authority, a Gaza where Hamas is no longer a threat to the Israeli people, and a Gaza that can no longer be a springboard for terrorism. And that is what we are working towards. Rhetoric is simply that. It's rhetoric. It's a distraction. Sometimes the language and the verbiage and the word choice that is used is incredibly problematic. But that is not what we're focused on. We're focused on the facts, and we're focused on doing whatever we can to bring a conclusion to this conflict.
Rhetoric is just rhetoric. When top Israeli government officials say, we're going to resettle Gaza, we're going to do ethnic cleansing, we're going to keep doing collective punishment, we're going to keep doing genocide. Rhetoric's just rhetoric. Remember what the Biden administration was saying about the rhetoric at these pro-Palestine protests? From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Intifada. When people chanted those things, they said those are literal direct threats of violence and you're calling for the deaths of all Jews. When the Israeli government says, we want the deaths of Palestinians and we want to resettle Gaza and we want to steal their land, it's just words, bro. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So the actual threat is not a threat. It's just rhetoric. The liberation talk is a threat and needs to be stopped. Jesus Christ, man. All right. Upward of 20 American doctors are trapped at the European hospital in Gaza facing extreme dehydration. At least one is on an IV drip. So we still have American doctors in Gaza. And guess what? They're in the same situation as any Palestinian in Gaza. You want to know why? Because Israel doesn't give a fuck. They don't care. If you're in Gaza, you're part of the collective punishment. So they're extremely dehydrated. Ryan Grimm goes on to point out, one of the American doctors trapped in Gaza by Israel's siege is Adam Hamaway, an Army veteran who famously saved the life of Senator Tammy Duckworth after her helicopter crash in Iraq. So in other words, we have American heroes behind the scenes in Gaza, and Israel is in the process of making them go thirsty and making them go hungry. Jesus Christ. Look at this. The UN has confirmed its first international staff member killed in Gaza after an attack by Israeli forces on a UN vehicle in Rafah City. UN confirms killing of one of its staffers in Rafah by an Israeli attack. By the way, there's speculation that it was either this incident or a similar one with some Red Cross worker or something, that Israel attacked and killed them, and they were actually on the way to go help the American doctors who are dehydrated in Gaza. When people say there's no safe place in Gaza, that's not hyperbole. That is literally correct. And again, we just sit and watch this, and we support it. We greenlight it. More money, more weapons. The depravity is off the charts. It is absolutely off the charts. If you thought there was even a shred of morality or ethics or reason to what our government does, you are sorely mistaken. So we have another example of this. Breaking. Rampaging Israeli settlers attack trucks carrying desperately needed humanitarian aid on the way to the besieged Gaza Strip, unloading and destroying bags of wheat flour. Look. So this is, I mean, Jesus. Within the last three or four shows, how many separate instances of pictures and videos have I shown you of extremist Israeli settlers destroying humanitarian aid? It's happening every day. There's a massive protest movement from Zionists, and the protest is, no, we want you to keep starving Gaza. We want them to go thirsty. We want them to go hungry. We want them to have no medicine. I mean, there were reports a month into this thing, there were reports of they're out of anesthesia, and people are getting legs amputated and arms amputated, and there's no pain relief. And these Zionists sit there and they go, we're in favor of that. We like that. Again, it's so ironic because when you talk about what happened during the Holocaust, after that, everybody goes, never again. We're never going to let this happen again. But the Israeli government says, again, as long as it's not us, if we're doing it to others, then it's fine. Well, guys, I hate to tell you, but every monster in history has convinced themselves they're the victim. That's how this works. And Israel is convincing itself it's the victim as they're carrying out a genocide. Look at what they're doing. Is this what the good side does? Jesus Christ. All right. Itamar Ben-Gvir, Israel's Minister of National Security, said during an interview with Israel's Channel 12 on Wednesday that he believes Israel needs to occupy Gaza and stay there, and that they would develop a plan of encouragement to make Palestinians leave. In other words, they're saying, we have an ethnic cleansing plan, and we would like to force them out of there. All right, again, guys, this isn't subtle. None of this is subtle. Xavier pro-Palestine protesters appear in court on felony charges. So you read that and you think, oh my God, did they do violence? What happened here? Look at this. This is from the article. Both faced a felony charge of conspiracy while wearing a disguise, a little-known charge that dates back to the 1950s. In other words, this is lawfare. Whip up anything you can against the pro-Palestine protesters. Claim they're violent, even though they're not violent. You know, we saw this at, what was it, UCLA? The Zionists were violent, but everybody was talking like the pro-Palestine protesters were violent. I hate to tell you, setting up a tent on a lawn is not violence. In fact, this is copying a lot of the same tactics and strategies of the anti-Vietnam War protest days. All right, more. This one was crazy. So there's it's another Biden administration official, somebody who's in the military, a uniformed officer, U.S. Army Major Harrison Mann. He basically released a letter and is like, I'm resigning. And the reason I'm resigning is because this is unconscionable, what we're doing in Israel. And he even points out, like, look, I hung in there for a little bit because I thought maybe the most recent outrage, the most recent example of barbarism, the crazy stories that are coming out of there, maybe one of them will get these people to wake up and a switch will flip. And they'll go, okay, we can't do this anymore. We can't arm Israel anymore. This is crazy. And he realized that didn't happen. That's not going to happen. And so he's resigning and saying, I have a conscience. I can't be a part of this. What we're doing is like the height of evil. So shout out to this guy. By the way, there should be a flood of these people. There should be thousands of these people who are like, I'm going to resign because I can't be a part of this, man. Among 18 to 29-year-olds in battleground states, who do you sympathize with more? Palestinians, 47%. Israelis, 23%. Both equally as 11%. This is a new poll, right? Remember, the demographic Biden is struggling with the most right now, it's young voters. In order for Biden to win the election, he needs to win young voters by like 30 percentage points or more, right? He's currently down in some polls with young voters. They're telling you very clearly right here, we sympathize more with the Palestinians than with the Israelis because we see what's going on. We see the bombing. We see the destruction of infrastructure. We see the civilian casualty rate. We see the kids being pulled out from underneath the rubble. We see all of it. We're against it. They overwhelmingly side with Palestinians. And what does Joe Biden do? Sides with AIPAC. Sides with AIPAC repeatedly. All right. And then I'll give you this. So again, back to the protest. This is Steny Hoyer here. And listen to what he says on CNN.
What do you think of just in general their positions on Israel? Does it concern you, your colleagues?
I regret that there are members who are in effect, I think, reflecting the views of Hamas, which are to kill Jews and eliminate Israel. And when you're talking about from the river to the sea, I think it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, he says that he didn't name names, but he said some of the members in his party are reflecting the views of Hamas.
So he's saying other Democratic politicians who are more sympathetic to Palestinians, he says they're reflecting the views of Hamas. That's what he's saying. Again, guys, I don't know how to engage with this other than to say in a very straightforward way, these people are either the biggest liars in the world or they're the biggest idiots in the world. You don't need to be sympathetic to Hamas to oppose 38,000 innocent civilians being killed, including about 16,000 kids and 10,000 women. You don't need to support Hamas to come to that conclusion, you fucking moron. But this is all they have. All they have is ruthless, vile smears. And by the way, one can flip right back on them. Oh, Which politicians are you talking about in the U.S. that you think are sympathetic to Hamas? Which colleagues of yours? Let me think about it. Could you possibly mean Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar? What do those two have in common? That now you're accusing them of supporting Hamas, a terrorist group. Why would you accuse them of that? Oh, I see. Could it be because they're Muslim? They're Muslim. They're brown. And, you know, hey, it might be genetic or something, right? These Muslim people, these brown people, they can't help but support terrorism, am I right? They're reflecting the views of Hamas. Disgusting, man. Disgusting. Even their bullshit on From the River to the Sea. The idea that a bunch of morons in this country think, that's genocidal, you're saying kill all the Jews. Can you fucking talk to some of the people who say that, please? Yes, I grant you that when a leader of Hamas says that, he doesn't mean it in a good way. But when a college kid says it with a fucking septum ring, talk to them, they're like, I want one democratic state in the region with equal rights for all. That's what I mean. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That's what I mean when I say that. But these people don't talk to them. They don't care. Smear, 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 smear. Michael Smearconish. That's it's all day. Jesus Christ. So anyway, there's your 912th report on Israel, where every single one since the beginning of when we were covering this is them committing more war crimes, more atrocities, lying about it, getting more money and more weapons in the process. There you go. There's your 912th update on what's happening. And I guess let's all sit and wait and cross our fingers and hope that something will change this time. It ain't happened yet. And if we hold our breath to wait for it to happen, we'll all be dead pretty soon, I think. Joe Scarborough has made a point throughout the Israeli destruction of Gaza to repeatedly humiliate himself on air. So the other day we covered, he was throwing softballs down the center of the plate to Hillary Clinton, and he was shocked that anybody would call her a war criminal and that anybody would criticize Israel. And now he's hit a new low. So remember, this guy is one of the top hosts on MSNBC, right? He has like a 3-hour show in the morning or however the fuck long it is now. And this is supposed to be the liberal network. And remember, he's a former Republican. And just this is an important note as well. Joe Biden loves this show. Joe Biden watches this show all the time. Him and Fareed Zakaria are the two that I think were brought up in some sort of interview where Biden was describing his like media consumption diet. So now Joe Scarborough comes out and he says the following. UN halves estimates of women and children killed in Gaza. Apparently, the Hamas figures repeatedly cited are false. If you hear that and you take it at face value, think about this in practical terms. The number of dead children is 15,000. The number of dead women is 10,000. So you want to cut 15,000 dead children in half? Okay, 7,500 children were killed by Israel. 5,000 women were killed by Israel. Any reasonable person would look at that and still be morally outraged. Especially because Israel knows what they're doing, and there's been so much reporting that verifies that. I mean, the Daddy's Home or Where's Daddy AI program that they've been using to kill people, they strike purposefully when you have alleged fighters who are at home with the women and children. They attack knowing the women and children are in there. Okay, I digress. So even in a scenario where he's correct, oh my God, the numbers are inflated. The real numbers are still so horrifying, and he's bringing this up to make the argument, aha, so Israel is acting very morally. Even if you were right, they're not acting morally, and they've killed way more women and children than Hamas did. Okay. But of course, this isn't even correct. So look at this response here. The UN did not have the estimate of women and children killed. Actually, experts note the reported figures are a vast undercount, as many are missing under the rubble and in mass graves. Also, Joe is citing a propaganda rag that said killed babies were dolls. So more on that. Look at this. The depraved lie about the UN having the number of those killed originated with the same Israeli propaganda rag that said killed Palestinian babies were actually dolls and verified the 40 beheaded babies hoax, which everybody now knows and acknowledges was a clear hoax. Joe Scarborough laundered it. Reuters now confirms it's a lie. So again, just to show you what this outlet was engaged in before. The Jerusalem Post, an Israeli regime propaganda rag masquerading as independent and used as a credible source by Western media, has admitted they lied about a Palestinian baby killed by Israel being a doll. This is the same rag that verified the beheaded babies hoax. So this is what they posted. The Al Jazeera Post's blurred doll claims it to be a dead Palestinian baby. The footage shared on Al Jazeera's X account claimed that the doll was a month and a half old baby killed by an Israeli bomb. Come to find out. Over the weekend, we shared an article based on faulty sourcing. The article in question did not meet our editorial standards and was thus removed. We take this matter seriously and we will be handling it internally, blah, 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 blah. So in other words, they said, they're holding up a doll and saying it's a dead Palestinian baby. They're lying. Come to find out, oops, that was a dead Palestinian baby, and a whole bunch more information came out about that baby, the name, what happened, things of that nature. Then they had to, run back home, tails tucked between their legs. Guys, this is like, how insane have the conspiracy theories gotten? You've seen it. You've seen the Pallywood conspiracy theory. The idea that, bro, they're not even suffering in Gaza. They're doing these like Hollywood type productions to make it look like they're sick and starving and got attacked and are injured. It's all fake, bro. It's all fake. People have been saying that at the same time they defend the total onslaught and bombing campaign in Gaza and the total siege against Gaza. You can't support the siege, support the bombing campaign, and then try and say, but nobody's even getting hurt, bro. That makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense at all. On October 12th, the Jerusalem Post published that their reporters had personally verified and seen photos of the 40 beheaded and burnt babies. That post has 15 million views. It's still up today. Joe Scarborough is citing them as a credible source. It's utterly insane. So, in other words, Joe Scarborough took some shitty fucking rag-ass Israeli-biased tabloid magazine and ran with that. Now, by the way, yeah, this is what I wanted to read you. I don't know if I read you this yet. UN says Gaza death toll still over 35,000, but not all bodies identified. So this is what they're twisting, as if, bro, they have the estimate. No, they didn't. They're saying, we know these people are dead. We know this number is women or children, but we haven't identified the names and ages and things of that nature. And so they're saying, you know, we still need to get more information, but we're not saying that these people didn't die. Okay. There's about another 10,000 plus bodies who still have to be fully identified. And so then the details of those, which of those are children, which of those are women, that will be reestablished once the full identification process is complete, Hack told reporters in New York. The World Health Organization has a long-standing cooperation with the Ministry of Health in Gaza, and we can attest that the Ministry of Health has good capacity in data collection and analysis, and its previous reporting has been considered credible, said World Health Organization spokesperson Margaret Harris. The real numbers could be even higher, she said. So look at how dishonest this is. Some Israeli tabloid rag comes out and says, the numbers have been halved of the dead women and children in Gaza. That's what they say. What's the real story? We know that there's 10,000 more dead that we haven't identified. We're in the process of identifying them. And then beyond that, there's actually more dead. So they say the number's cut in half. Really, the number is more than what's reported. God, these people. I'm losing my damn mind, man. The gaslighting is making me lose my damn mind. So, by the way, what's the reality? Look, this is the part that nobody will tell you, is that even the UN numbers and, most of the human rights organizations around the world, yes, they're reliant on the Gaza Ministry of Health numbers. Now, I understand that. It makes sense. Their numbers in the past have been very accurate. But they don't count, for example, the dead under the rubble as part of the dead, which is why they say the number's actually probably higher. No, we know the number's higher. So the human rights organization that has been counting the people who are under the rubble for an extended period of time as dead, it's Euromed Monitor, the human rights group. And look, here, we've gone through these numbers before, but they say there's 43,640 people dead. Of them, 39,675 are civilians. So this is higher than all the, UN saying about 35,000. We're 43,640, according to this outlet, which I think is much more accurate. Over 15,000 kids, over 10,000 women, 81,500 injured, 141 journalists killed, 2 million people homeless and displaced, 136,000 homes completely destroyed, 298,000 homes partially destroyed. The list goes on and on. We don't need to go through this again. It's absolutely devastating. absolutely devastating. 332 healthcare facilities that have been attacked, including 29 hospitals, 227 ambulances. So this is the reality on the ground. And what's Joe Scarborough doing? Trying to downplay the reality on the ground, trying to downplay the numbers, trying to make Israel look good in the midst of them doing a genocide. Look, I'm not a cancel culture guy. I don't believe in cancel culture. I don't believe in shutting people up. I don't believe in censorship. Let's also call a spade a spade. If you're on what's supposed to be a news outlet and you're just lying brazenly and doing ruthless propaganda that's easily debunkable, you probably shouldn't have that job. Because you don't know how to do your fucking job. You don't know how to do your job. If I hire somebody to, I don't know, work at a hockey rink and ride the Zamboni, and instead of riding the Zamboni, they show up with a mop and they mop the fucking rink, you're not doing your job. So, oh, I don't know how to do a Zamboni. Well, that's what we hired you for. So I don't know what you want me to tell you. You got to go find another job, right? Like, what are we talking about here? What are we? If I call the cops to come over because there was some crime that was committed, and the person shows up is an Arby's employee. Oh, I don't have a gun. Oh, I don't have any authority in this situation, but I got some fries for you. I didn't call Arby's. I called the cops. What are we doing here? This is Morning Joe. Morning Joe pretends to be a journalist, pretends to be a reporter, pretends to give you the straight dope every morning. Then he comes out there and brazenly lies to cover for a fucking genocide happening. And now he's done it repeatedly. The idea that he was talking to Hillary Clinton and he was mocking the notion that Hillary's a war criminal, that alone. I mean, you literally are just not familiar with the facts of the matter and reality. You're not familiar with any of the arguments. Being shocked and outraged that they would call Joe Biden Genocide Joe. If you're not going to steel man that perspective, you could disagree with it, but if you're not going to steel man it before you respond to it, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Totally having no understanding of the history of the region, blaming everything on Palestinians, and now coming out here and lying about the death toll. This is disgusting. This is grotesque. And remember, think of the number of people who've gotten disciplined or punished because they said something like, free Palestine. And here you have people brazenly lying about the reality of a fucking genocide, and he's going to skate completely. He's not going to retract. He's not going to post a correction. He's going to double down, and he's going to go out there again and continue to lie to the American people. This is real loathsome. This is guys, let's call a spade here. He's doing genocide denial. This is genocide denial. This is what the fucking psycho-ass white supremacists do and the neo-Nazis do when they say, huh, really? 6 million Jews? The number's way lower than that, bro. Why? This shouldn't be viewed any differently at this late date. How many fucking videos, how many pictures, how many stories, how many verified reports do you need to get through your fucking thick skull that they're doing an ethnic cleansing and a genocide? And they're doing collective punishments against all of Gaza. Imagine trying to downplay the numbers of the dead at the same time you know they're doing a siege in Gaza. You know they're trying to starve them. You see them blocking the humanitarian aid from coming in. You see the settlers destroying the trucks. And you're still out there playing defense for Israel? What a shameful, shameful man. What a fucking disgrace this is. You suck at your job. You're pathetic. You should be nowhere near a microphone, and that's obvious. Bill Burr went on Bill Maher's podcast the other day. His, what does he call it? Club Random. This is where Bill was like jealous of Joe Rogan's success independently. And so he wanted to do his own like little independent thing. So he does this Club Random podcast. And I've watched a few episodes of it. Man, Bill just seems so try hard, right? It's like he's trying to look like me, bro. I'm just cool. I'm just relaxed. We're just shooting the shit here. No big deal, bro. It's like the cameras aren't even on, bro. But then he goes on to totally, like, put on his little Bill Maher facade, right? And so I found it insufferable. I've seen a few episodes, but I can't really watch it. And when this podcast came out, my first thought was, oh, there's going to be some gems in there. But having said that, I couldn't bring myself to watch the whole fucking thing. I just can't. I can't deal with Bill Maher for any extended period of time. I was waiting on Twitter to do its thing and post all the best and juiciest moments from this back and forth because these two, they're not going to gel. They're not going to mix, right? Bill Burr is the epitome of the like, take no bullshit, Northeastern Boston guy. Doesn't want to hear anybody fucking bullshit him about anything ever. doesn't like people with like super flamboyant personalities, arrogant, etc. And Bill Maher is the epitome of the, you know, I'm the smug, condescending guy who looks down his nose at everybody and thinks I'm way smarter than I am. Right. So I knew it wasn't going to gel. Well, here we go. So I got some glorious moments here. Bill Burr is going to casually and nonchalantly slap Bill Maher down and humiliate him again and again and again to his face. So there's a part in here about Israel and Gaza that we'll get to, but there's also this is like a compilation of all the times in there where he just slaps him down. And it's not just on Israel and Gaza. It's on so many different things. Let's watch.
You can just see the way we dress. We're not different people. This is like, you know, you come from, you know, the slacks generation. Like slacks slacks were a thing.
No, I look good. That's the difference, is that you're wearing sneakers.
You don't got to throw that in my face.
You got a t-shirt on. Like
you look like a fucking defendant. Look at you trying to beat him drinking and driving charge. He doesn't have any priors, Your Honor. Look at him. He's wearing his Chelsea boots. He's a fucking, what do they call it? A productive member of society.
No one ever
All right, well, then Nepo baby. Your dad has a construction company. You take it over. Does somebody call him a Nepo baby? No, it just becomes, you know, Sanford and Son.
Yeah, but it's a little more pronounced when it's in the arts because you have this.
I hate that word.
Why?
Pronounced.
Jesus Christ.
Because that's like a PED. You know what it was? That was like a PED for your fucking point.
Your wife.
It's a little more pronounced.
Your wife must be a saint. Because, like, boy.
Because you're such a victim right now?
No, because you do like to, like, pick a fight about anything.
By the way, Bill Maher saying that about somebody else is fucking rich, bro. Is fucking rich. That's Bill Maher's whole career, is picking a fight about fucking anything. Oh, my God.
Your wife must be a saint. Because, like, boy.
Because you're such a victim right now?
No, because you do like to, like, pick a fight about anything.
You just said I was stupid.
Well, that's
another. He just came at me.
That's a completely different subject. I don't know. Right. I just think it's gauche. But yeah.
Here we go again with the big words. What does gauche mean? I've heard the word.
It means great in French.
Gauche? No, it doesn't. No.
You can always talk Beatles. And yes, they always, one reason they are prima inter pares among rock gods is that they.
what the fuck does that even mean, Jesus?
I've never heard all of those words. Is that three words? Is that two words?
Bill Maher is slowly morphing into Dennis Miller as he gets older. You know how Dennis Miller's whole bit was like, I'm going to say words you don't understand and be a smug asshole and make you think I'm really smart and hope you laugh in the process. That's Bill Maher now.
And for first among equals.
Don't you say that for your parties when you're wearing your smoking jacket? I'll tell you that Bill Maher is really smart. He is really well-read. He just said prima paravartis.
Prima inter pares.
Inter pares.
You know what? I'm not the bad guy because I know more. Okay, can we just guess?
Oh, right? There it is. He's masking it as a joke, but he's like, I'm actually better than you and smarter than you. Okay. And by the way, I smoke weed and I have sex. I'm a bad boy. Okay. Aren't I so edgy? Like, this is Bill Maher's whole shtick.
I'm not the bad guy because I know more. Okay, can we just get
that's
that?
That's right. Don't make me, exactly.
I'm not the bad guy because I know things. I apologize.
You should say, I'm sorry, I'm not stupid, Bill. Point. That's what you should have said.
Even? Like, that
dude,
good?
Listen, I get it. You're not a knock-around guy. You fucking, you looked up Latin words and you didn't fucking hang out with the fellas and they used to hang you by your underwear at the locker. So now none of them are funny because this is your one thing. But I'm funny. They could never be as funny as me.
Well,
like, there's so much shit about you that's funny that you're not even trying to be funny. Your whole fucking outfit is hilarious.
My
I don't know
outfit?
What it is. Yeah.
A shirt and pants is an outfit?
You dress like that. You're going to sing that, what is that song? Splish Splash, I was taking a bath with your stupid little slippers that you're wearing.
Slippers. Paul McCartney was with his girlfriend was Jane Asher.
Huh?
And he lived in her parents' apartment in the garret for like 3 years in the middle of London. I'm not making this up.
It's the garret.
The garret is like an attic. Like, you know, the top of the apartment.
Well, we're in California. You can just say attic. And then after that.
God, it's so glorious watching this. It's like the everyman slapping down the condescending asshole.
They moved to the garage and have put some basil on their fry up.
Knowing things and words, asshole.
That's an asshole thing to do. To use the English word for fucking attic in California.
Okay, but.
I'm one more reference away from taking this mic off and just walking out.
You don't realize that college campuses erupted with the kids demonstrating for Hamas. They are in with the terrorists.
Oh, they were for the Palestinians.
Well, it's sort of the same cause. Why, are you?
I'm on the side of the kids.
Yeah, that's easy to say. No one
Oh, I hate Bill Maher so much, and I love Bill Burr so much. Oh, my God. By the way, Bill, way to let your mask slip there, right? The college kids are protesting for Hamas, okay? And Bill Burr's like, you mean for the Palestinians? He's like, well, it's the same thing. Thank you for giving the game up. This is exactly the position of Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and all of the war criminals who have been doing war crime after war crime. Their position is, you're all guilty enough. That's why we're going to cut off the food, the fuel, the water, the electricity to 2.3 million people, because you're guilty enough. We've heard them say it. They're acting on it. They've killed over 40,000 Palestinians, including 15,000 children and 10,000 women, and this is the mindset that gets you there. You're all guilty enough. Really? How's the 2-year-old guilty? How's the 7-year-old guilty? How's the woman who's just a fucking homemaker whose husband's got nothing to do with Hamas at all? How are they guilty? How's the bakery owner guilty? How are they guilty? They're not guilty, but they're guilty to you, Bill Maher, because you're a bigot and you generalize about them. And in your mind, it's like, I don't know, they're brown, they're Arab, they're Muslim. They're primitive, we're enlightened, so therefore, we get to murk them from the sky with predator drones. Fuck out of here. And Bill Burr is responding to this in a very short way, because it's almost like he views, like, this is, you're beneath me. To even respond to this is beneath me. By the way, Mr. Smarty Pants over there makes an argument for fucking collective punishment, thinks he's still Mr. Smarty Pants. That's the dumbest fucking thing you could ever say or do.
I'm on the side of the kids.
Based.
Yeah, that's easy to say. You know, no one wants to see kids dead. This is a war.
That's very brave of you to say
this.
By the way, that is not true. Nobody wants to see the kids dead, except you've been arguing for it every step of the way. You've been defending Israel every step of the way, even though 15,000 kids have been killed. And nobody wants to see the kids dead, except me when I make every argument I've ever made on this issue ever. Jesus Christ, man. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, that's easy to say. You know, no one wants to see kids dead. This is a war.
That's very brave of you to say that.
This is a war. No, I'm the one who's actually brave on this.
Oh, yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
It's easy to say I'm for the kids. Who's not for the kids?
You.
Well, it comes down to real hard-nosed decisions. Like a country.
Stop talking like you're a general.
A country got attacked. Israel got attacked.
I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to go back. I'm just sitting there going, like, how do I look at
the only country in the world that they get attacked, and then as soon as they counterattack, it's like, well, we got to stop this shit now. Don't attack them. It's a very simple solution to all this problem in the Middle East. Stop attacking Israel.
They've killed 92% innocent civilians. They're not striking back at the people who did the terrorism. They're striking back at the non-terrorists, at the civilians, at the women, at the children, at the regular people. That's the problem, Bill. So in his mind, if there's a terror attack against you, you get to go and wipe out 92% innocent people? That's psychotic serial killer mass murder shit.
You stopped attacking
it.
Israel.
You just
I
solved
did.
It.
I actually did.
There you
did.
Go. That's fantastic.
Anyway,
all right. Let's go to Russia and the Ukraine. How do you solve that one, Bill? Let me hear your hard-nosed decision about that.
I bet you fly private more than you're letting on.
Listen,
by the way, Bill Burr handled that Gaza thing masterfully. He almost feels bad for Bill Maher, right? Like, oh, yeah, you're a fucking general. Like, you got all the answers. You got to make hard-nosed decisions, like to carpet bomb toddlers, okay?
If I have to go somewhere and I don't have enough time to get there.
Oh, suddenly we've got an exception.
No, I said mainly I fly commercial.
Well, you're an idiot. You shouldn't. You know what? It's.
What is this? If I don't agree with you, I'm an idiot.
It's Bill Maher's whole fucking life.
I apologize.
Fucking John Varvatos shirt. You're not young. Put on a sweater, for fuck's sakes.
Put on a sweater? Why? But, like, artistic people, they don't, like, perceive truth exactly literally. Now, sometimes that's better and sometimes it's worse, because sometimes the truth is just the truth. And they don't see it that way. They see it sort of artistically. They see it through
a
very...
Ask your question.
And I don't think they're stupider. I just think they see life through a different prism.
Ask your question.
We gotta go.
Last time,
<Good night.
laughs> from the bottom of your heart, you said to another human being, you know what? I'm wrong. Oh. And they had a live orchestra playing the score as you watched the movie.
Oh.
So cool.
Where was this?
Whatever that big symphony hall is that I never go to.
Oh, downtown? The Disney Center?
Yeah, the one that looks all weird.
Yeah, the one from
artsy.
Frank Gehry?
Frank Gehry?
He's an architect.
I knew he's an architect. Oh, that's a big thing in your world, knowing architects' names.
I wasn't trying to brag.
That's an L. Ron Hubbard.
No, it's just, I'm always...
No, Frank Lloyd Wright. I always say L. Ron Hubbard.
Hey,
Frank Lloyd, that's
hey,
a Frank Lloyd Wright.
You knew that one.
I like Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right. He and his brother invented...
I like Art
Frank
Deco.
Lloyd Wright. He and his brother invented the airplane.
I like Art Deco.
architect. First of all, I don't think you could change the oil in a car, so don't talk about fucking architecture like that.
I can't, and I wouldn't want to.
Oh, let me adjust my glasses. Can I tell you something, Bill? Most of the shit that you say is not smart. It's just sort of obscure.
It's not obscure to a certain percentage of people.
Yeah, I'm not some giant egghead.
I'm just
I know you're not that smart.
I know. I'm not saying I am. Which says something about all these things I say that you don't know what I'm talking about.
So what?
I know.
Like, there's subjects I could bring up. It's just, you know, you're just into, you know, musicals. I had a great time.
I hope so, because
you're my favorite smarmy person in this business.
I think my favorite part of that was, Bill, when was the last time you looked at somebody and said, you know what, I'm wrong? Answer, Bill Burr, never. Never. Never, never, never. And he is smarmy as they fucking come. And yes, he just defended terrorism to your face. Yes, he accused thousands and thousands of protesting college kids of supporting Hamas. How pathetic is that? Bill, what's the proper way to view that? Look at what they say they're doing it for. What are they doing it for? They have a fucking list. The list is divest from Israel. Let's stop the financial entanglements with the apartheid state that's doing an ethnic cleansing and a genocide. It's that, and it's, hey, stop the genocide. Hey, Biden, stop sending money and weapons to this country that's carpet bombing kids. And what does he do? He twists that and says they're all in favor of Hamas. I have nothing but disdain for people like Bill at this point. Nothing but disdain. Nothing but love for Bill Burr, because he took Bill Maher down a couple notches there, and he did it by being the classic, like, everyman, where he basically called Bill out and was like, look, you're arrogant, you're smarmy, you're smug, you're a prick, you're not actually as smart as you think you are, and you often say dumb things. But go ahead, solve another conflict, Mr. General Bill Maher, please. Friend of the show, Rania Kolik of Breakthrough News, went on Piers Morgan's show. They had a big Israel debate. As you can see here, there were four people involved in the debate. And man, it got heated, and it went off the railski. So here, let's watch, and we'll break it down as we go. This is spicy, bro. This is a spicy one right here.
Okay, Rania Kolik, you've been at some of the protest encampments we've been seeing in America, obviously in recent weeks. But what do you think of the situation now, which feels like whatever happens, we're heading to the end game here with this war on Hamas? Israel say, we're going to finish the job. We're going to take out every last remaining Hamas terrorist. But of course, many people have a deep concern that if they do this in Rafah, which is a massive refugee camp at the moment, then many thousands of civilians more are going to get killed.
Well, Piers, you're right about that. I mean, this is 7 months of genocide we've been witnessing that continues to unfold. And what's happening right now is Israel has destroyed most of Gaza. They forced 1.3 million people into Rafah, where they told them to shelter. It's supposed to be a safe zone, but they've been bombing it and killing people there anyway. And if we look at what else they've done to the rest of Gaza, they've completely blown up entire apartment blocks. They've dismantled every single hospital in Gaza, including at two of them, El Shifa and Al Nasser Hospital, where they summarily executed hundreds of people, including doctors and patients, and threw them into mass graves. They've destroyed every university in Gaza. 600,000 of the 1.3 million Palestinians sheltering in Rafah right now are children, who, by the way, every single day are dealing with starvation because Israel has put them under a complete siege. It's completely outrageous that 7 months into this, we are still even having a debate about whether this is okay to be doing. This is a genocide being carried out against a defenseless population.
Okay, on that
and
point.
And if Israel's allowed to continue into Rafah, we're going to see a bigger bloodbath than we already have.
My favorite part of watching that is looking at these two plastic bitches, like, shaking their head at different times, like, no, no. What part of that was wrong? That, everything she said there was just factual. Was like, here are the numbers, and here's what's happening, and here's this report about this massacre, and that report about that massacre, and they're sitting there like, what are you shaking your head at? What are you shaking your head at? Those things are objectively true. All right, let's keep going.
On the question of genocide, what Israel say, and what their supporters say, and what I'm sure Emily would say, is if Israel was genuinely perpetrating genocide, it has the tools to kill every single person in Gaza.
That argument is so incredible. I didn't kill literally 100% of them, so I guess it's all forgiven? I mean, we talked about this the other day. Dave Smith brought this up. Srebrenica is considered a genocide, and there were 6,000 people who were killed there. We're at over 40,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza. And by the way, the genocidal intent has never been more clear than it is right now, with all the top Israeli government officials basically saying, we love genocide, we'd like to do genocide, we'd like to do ethnic cleansing, we'd like to resettle Gaza, we'd like to force these people out of there. Women and children, we treat the same as Hamas because we feel like they're guilty enough, just like Hamas. They could have overthrew them if they wanted to. They didn't. They're guilty, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing a siege. We're going to starve all of them. What are we really debating here, man? Holy shit.
If you want to talk about genocidal intent, Hamas has made it crystal clear that they do want the elimination of Israel. And in fact, after October the 7th, the official spokesman came out and said, we want to do it again and again and again. So there is clear genocidal intent from Hamas, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure with their fucking slingshots, they'll be able to handle that, right? I'm sure with their amazing rock-throwing abilities, they'll overthrow the government of Israel, which is backed by the world superpower.
Well, Piers, I have a list here of all of the genocidal statements by high-level Israeli officials that the South Africans did a very good job of presenting a case about at the ICJ.
Yeah, but they didn't actually conclude. They didn't actually conclude it was genocide yet.
Yeah, yet. The case is still ongoing. You can't use that as, it's not genocide. They said it's plausible it may be, and the case is continuing. That's as big of a win for the side that says this is a genocide as you could possibly get at this point in the proceedings.
Since it's not actually about that. It's whether you believe that Hamas has genocidal intent, which they began on October the 7th in that horrendous manner, and which they have repeatedly said they wish to continue. Do you accept that is genocidal intent?
I just don't accept the premise. Israel is a settler colony that is committed to stealing as much land as possible with as few Palestinians on it as possible. Israeli leaders have always said
that.
That's what they're carrying out right now. Well,
I'm not going to ask you again.
Let me finish.
You mentioned, hang on.
I just want to finish.
I understand, but you were the one that mentioned genocide repeatedly. So I'm just simply asking whether you think that Hamas, with its behavior, you do not think they are genocidal towards Israel?
No, but am I allowed to actually answer? Are you going to stop me from answering?
Well, you just answered. You said no.
What you're saying is essentially saying, Well, am I allowed to say anymore? I just get to say no, and that's it. Because what you're talking about here is a group of colonized people. Well, these are a group of colonized people who are fighting against a settler colonial entity that seeks to eliminate them. I'm not going to sit here and call Hamas genocidal, just like I wouldn't call a slave revolt in the U.S. against plantation owners genocidal, just like I wouldn't call Algerians fighting genocidal.
Okay, before I go to Elika, though, just one final question for you.
It's highly ironic.
Okay, would you, this is a question I've asked many people for many months, would you then condemn what Hamas did on October the 7th or not?
I don't condemn Palestinian armed resistance groups, just like I wouldn't condemn slaves shooting at their plantation masters. Apparently,
Okay.
A lot of you would. I wouldn't condemn the Irish fighting the British.
I just want to add one more thing that's really important. I find it incredibly hypocritical to hear Rania talk about settler colonialism when, in fact, she herself is Lebanese, and the only entity that's acting as a colonialist entity in the Middle East is the Islamic Republic of Iran, which has essentially colonized Lebanon and completely destroyed it, that is colonizing Hamas in the Gaza Strip. It's a proxy of the Islamic Republic. They are the ones calling the shots over what goes on in the Gaza Strip and how Hamas rules over the Palestinian people. If that's not colonialism and imperialism, then I don't know what it is.
Okay. Jesus Christ. All right. Let me butt in here. That's the part where it goes off the rails. So what's the proper answer to the question that Piers asked? Do you think Hamas has genocidal intent? There are times they've absolutely expressed genocidal intent. There's no doubt about that. But there's also times that they've said, hey, man, we'll take the 1967 borders and call it a day, and we don't have a problem with Jews. We have a problem with the Zionists. So they've said both things at different times. OK, but what's the proper answer to that question? The proper answer is, do you condemn the Hamas attacks against innocent civilians? 100% yes. Any attack on an innocent civilian is evil and wrong and terrorism by definition. I don't care what side does it. The tactic and the strategy of going after innocent civilians is wrong. And that's a war crime, and they should be charged for that to the highest extent of the law, of course. But here's the politically incorrect part to say, but I think this is also very, very obvious. Is it legitimate to go after the military targets in Israel? Is it legitimate to go after the illegal Israeli settlers who are violating international law and stealing more land on a daily basis? The answer is yes. And if you say no to that, what you're saying is Palestinians don't have a right to defend themselves. And that's total fucking bullshit. So the real answer is 100% any attacks against innocent Israeli civilians, unacceptable. If you're going after women and children and men who are not in the military and they work at a fucking bakery or a store or whatever, 100% condemnable in every single instance. In every instance. But if you're going after military targets, that is completely legitimate. That's completely legitimate because that's just Palestinians having a right to defend themselves from what Rania correctly points out is a settler colonial project. And we all know, by the way, also, let's get down to the like the raw numbers of this. The fact of the matter is, Israel has killed more Palestinians, both as a percentage and as a raw number, and more Palestinian civilians as a percentage and as a raw number. So I'm willing to go with you there to say Hamas has genocidal intent and they've killed innocent Israeli civilians, and that's unacceptable, and I'm fine calling that terrorism. But by the same token, you have to, if you're being intellectually honest, turn around and say the IDF is also a terrorist organization, and in fact, they're a terrorist organization that has done way worse as both a raw number and a percentage. Because I think you can say the intent is similar when the Israeli position is, we want to resettle Gaza, we want to do an ethnic cleansing, we want to do a genocide, we've been carpet bombing kids on a regular basis, we've been starving everybody in Gaza. You both have the genocidal intent and the genocidal action on the part of the Israelis. And like I said, it's a higher number of innocent civilians killed as both a raw number and a percentage. And that's the part that Piers never really grapples with, right? And this is what he does. He trips up guests with this question where he's like, do you condemn Hamas? And the real way to handle that is the way that Crystal handled that. Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Next question. Like, that's an easy part. You should easily be able to do that. But the same thing that leads me to condemn Hamas for killing innocent Israeli civilians is the same thing that makes me even more outraged at the IDF for killing even more Palestinian civilians. And by the way, just so we're clear, I don't buy the argument. Some people make the argument there is no such thing as an innocent Israeli. That's just fundamentally not true. It's just not true. If you're a baby, if you're a toddler, if you're a 12-year-old, if you're a woman, if you're a man who just works at a store and the store is not in, the occupied territories, you know, you work at a store in Tel Aviv or some shit, like, come on, that's an innocent person, right? And so, I don't know, man, this went off the rails. I like how she's trying to throw it all back in their face and flip it all back in their face. Like, anything you say against me, you're guilty of 40 times worse. I like that. But also, I think the easiest answer to all these questions is the always condemn the killing of civilians 100%. But also, it's totally fair game for Palestinians to go after military targets and illegal settlers, because that's just Palestinians having a right to defend themselves. And everybody acknowledges Israel has a right to defend themselves. But nobody says that about Palestinians.
I'll answer that in just a moment. I just want to point out that I'm not at all surprised by anything Emily said, because she herself is a settler. So, of course, she feels entitled to pontificate about a region that I actually am indigenous to. But to get back to the issue of the hostages, you know, my outlet Breakthrough News actually did a review of all of the various ceasefire deals that Hamas put forward and was willing to agree to. There was 10 since October 7th. In fact, in the immediate aftermath of October 7th, Hamas was willing to release the hostages in exchange for Palestinian hostages, who we never hear about, by the way. There are 10,000 Palestinians being held by the Israelis. Many of them are children, by the way. I'd love to see you have one of their parents on your show. But all that said, Israel is the one that has refused any of these deals.
You mean the children?
In fact,
who are
the only hostages who have been killed. Let me finish, Emily. I let you repeat all of your imperialist
soldiers?
Talking points.
No, don't speak
all right,
over each
can
other.
Can I finish talking?
No, let Rania finish. Rania finish.
Because you don't see Palestinians as human, so of course you can't see any of them as innocent or hostages.
Absolutely false.
But I actually do see them as human. So let me finish what I'm saying here about the hostages.
Just not Jews. You just
Israel
don't see Jews as human,
talk
right?
About Israel is who you need to talk about or talk to about why they have not agreed to any of these deals, because they prefer to carry out and continue their genocide in Gaza to steal more land and get revenge, because it is a society that is consumed by hate at the moment. And I don't need to tell you that. You can just go look at the TikTok videos being put up by Israeli soldiers celebrating their criminality in Gaza every
and
single day.
I mean, it's just factually true to point out that the main stumbling block here in the negotiations is that Hamas is saying we need an actual end to the war. And Israel is saying no. Maybe we'll give you a 2-week break. Maybe we'll give you a 4-week break. But you give up all the hostages, and then we go right back to doing a total genocide and ethnic cleansing. And that's the stumbling block. And that's reported in the West as like Hamas is rejecting the deals. That's nonsense. It's Israel rejecting the idea of this ever stopping.
Just to be clear, you don't think that Hamas are filled with hate for Jewish people or Israel, and you don't think they celebrated the
Palestinians.
And you don't think they celebrated proudly by broadcasting a lot of it to the world what they did to those innocent people on October the 7th. You don't see that that's the same
Piers,
thing.
I think, peers, Palestinians don't need to be like high on hate because they've been occupied and slaughtered for 76 years. And any people, not just Palestinians, would respond to that angrily and would fight for their survival, including all the colonized people in the world who've ever had to fight for their survival.
Okay.
There's historical parallels here. I've already made them. And Palestinians, and just like any human beings in the world, are always going to fight for their survival. What I know right now is that the top priority should be to end the genocide in Gaza. There is a genocide taking place. 13,000 children, more than 13,000, have been killed. You know, there's now something called wounded child.
Again, I can't. When these women shake their heads, like, what are you shaking your head at? These are that's a number, and it's actually a low ball. So what are you shaking your head at? What's the issue here? You just don't like the fact that this is happening? You seem like, you act like you do like the fact that this is happening, or you're denying that it's happening? Of course it's happening. It's been verified 1,000 ways to Sunday.
Surviving family in Gaza because of how many children are wounded with no surviving family. This has been a horror show in Gaza. Babies are being starved. Are we not watching the same videos? Are you all not seeing the mutilated children with amputated limbs crying without their parents?
But out of interest.
Because of this
ongoing
slaughter?
I am horrified by those scenes, but I'm really curious why you cannot express any horror for what Hamas did, given it was the same, if not worse.
It definitely wasn't worse, because like I said, as a raw number and as a percentage, Israel has killed way more civilians.
Because I think
I don't understand why you would expect anybody... Hang on, let me ask you a question. Why would you expect anybody to express sympathy or empathy for what you're describing, given your utter refusal to express any for what Israelis went through on October the 7th? Explain.
You guys are using October 7th to justify a genocide. What are Palestinians justifying?
I'm not using it to justify anything.
34,000 people have been slaughtered.
I'm not justifying
anything. You're sitting here saying, me condemning, hold on, Piers, you're saying you want me to condemn, you want me to condemn Hamas in order for you all to feel empathy for over 13,000 Palestinian children who have been slaughtered?
That's not what I said.
It's essentially what I'm hearing here.
No, you're not. You're not listening. Well, then listen harder.
I'm not going to sit here.
Listen more carefully.
I'm not going to sit here and condemn colonized people. I'm just not. It's not going to happen. You can sit here and try to twist your words.
But you...
Look, here's the thing. She brought up the slave revolt example earlier. If there was a slave revolt, and in the slave revolt, you don't just go after the master. You go after the 5-year-old kids of the master. 4-year-old kids of the master, right? I think everybody can look at that and say, yeah, too far. Too far. Unacceptable. Look, I don't want people to fall into this trap. I don't want people to fall into this trap. Because it's not... it's not really a trap. It's easy to navigate it. The answer is, do you condemn Hamas for October 7th? Absolutely. All the innocent civilians who were killed, those are war crimes. That's terrorism. There should be justice and there should be war crimes charges over that. 100%. But all of the attacks against the military and the illegal Israeli settlers are 100% legitimate because Palestinians have a right to defend themselves. So I don't know why this isn't that hard. This isn't that hard. So that's the answer. And I don't, if you can't say that first part, then it's easy for peers and others to look at you and say, well, you're just a shitty person because you don't condemn it when Israeli civilians get killed, right? And again, the only counter to that I've heard is like, I just don't think there are any Israeli civilians. And if you believe that, I just fundamentally 100% disagree with you. So I don't know. But this is not, it's like, this is the gotcha game he tried to play with Crystal. And Crystal was easily able to jujitsu out of it because it's like, you're not going to play gotcha on something where there's a very direct and straightforward and clear answer. Do you condemn Hamas for killing civilians on October 7th? Yes. Next question. But what I don't do is condemn Palestinians for killing the Israeli military, who are engaged in this vicious genocidal campaign against them. Ethnic cleansing, starving of them. That 100% is self-defense. If that doesn't fall under the category of self-defense, then fucking nothing is self-defense.
To weaponize your condemnation.
But you keep talking about Israel. Okay. But you keep talking about Israel killing babies and children and so on. And that is indisputably happening. And yet you are completely incapable of condemning Hamas for doing the same thing.
Hamas carried out a military operation on October 7th.
It was an act
Israel
of terror.
Killed a lot of its own
it was
people,
a terrorist
which you all
attack.
Never talk about. Is it what Israel's doing in Gaza terrorism? Would
it's
you
a
call
response
that terrorism?
It's a response to an act of terrorism.
There's Pierce. So biased. Oh my God. So biased. It was a response to an act of terrorism. By that logic, you could say October was a response to an act of genocide and ethnic cleansing and occupation and taking away all rights and sovereignty and independence and freedom and justice and liberty. You can't do that. Look, we can't play this game of like, oh, you did this and then this happened and then I did that. And then you can't do that. You have to function in a world of rules and laws and principles and justice. And that means there are certain lines nobody can cross. And you're wrong if you cross it, full stop. And this is Piers bias showing, right? It's just, he can't help but think of Israel as a legitimate country with a legitimate military, and they're just doing counterterrorism when they do fucking brazen terrorism. No, you should condemn that just as hard, if not harder, than when Hamas kills innocent civilians, because Israel is killing even more innocent civilians. Oh my God. On purpose. On purpose.
There are, There are many serious legitimate concerns about the scale of that response. I agree. And they will be held to account by international courts about whether they've committed war crimes.
Oh, will they?
But my issue is, you don't give a damn what Hamas did to those innocent Israelis on October the 7th.
And you don't give a damn about what's happening to the innocent Palestinians, because the way you frame every question, as Mehdi Hassan pointed out to Piers Morgan's face, you ask me to condemn Hamas when I come on. You never ask somebody who's pro-Israel to immediately condemn the IDF and call them terrorists when they come on. So this is your bias now, Piers. Jesus Christ.
At the heart of your
position. Well, you know, 100 journalism professors at elite universities across the country are asking the New York Times to review their investigative reporting on October 7th. A lot of what we heard are lies. You don't talk about that on the show. Israeli media has reported on a lot of those lies, too.
Yeah, that's true. The 40 beheaded babies hoax was a hoax. Baby in an oven hoax was a host. All the reporting about the, systemic rape totally fell apart under minimal scrutiny. And you have outlets running away from that now at 1,000 miles an hour. So she's right that a lot of this stuff was overstated and was used as propaganda towards genocidal ends. She's right about that. But at the same time, it's also true. Let's not pretend like there weren't any civilians who were killed. There were plenty of civilians who were killed, right? Now, again, as a raw number and a percentage, Hamas killed more military targets than the IDF. That's a fact. That's a fact. But let's not pretend like there were no war crimes or atrocities or attacks on civilians. Okay.
If you're going to say what Israel's doing is a response to October 7th, then could October 7th perhaps have been a response to what Israel's been doing to Palestinians, which nobody was covering on October 4th or October 5th?
Yeah, that's the point he can't grapple with. Because again, his bias is Israel is an enlightened Western nation. So they're a legitimate nation state. And when they do something in response, it's always in response by definition, and it's always like counterterrorism, and it can never just be terrorism. And that's, he's just wrong.
What I hear here is no empathy for people undergoing a genocide, and I'm sitting here, and you're asking me to condemn people who are fighting for their survival.
I'm actually just asking you to condemn an act of grotesque terrorism, and you're incapable of doing it.
I want to hear Emily and you and everybody on this panel.
And you're incapable of showing a shred of empathy for anyone killed on the other side. That's my point.
But Piers, you are fundamentally incapable of talking about what's happening in clear and concise and logical and direct terms, like calling what's happening a genocide, like saying Israel wants to do a genocide. They want to do an ethnic cleansing. That's why they're starving 2.3 million people. That's why they're bombing schools and hospitals and UN buildings and factories and homes and everything under the sun. And they literally come out and say these genocidal things, but you don't talk about that in the context of what it is, black and white. You don't. You obfuscate and you put a veneer of respectability over it, even though you say, hey, maybe they've gone too far. Oh, is that it? They've gone too far?
You're incapable of showing a bit of empathy for Palestinians.
I bet you speak. Do you believe what happened October the 7th was justified? Yes or no?
I believe what happened on October 7th was a reaction to Israeli terrorism.
Was it justified?
Okay. The answer is no, it's not justified. All the attacks against civilians were wrong and war crimes, and they should be charged for that. But all the attacks against military targets were 100% legitimate, and Palestinians have a right to defend themselves. Do you disagree that Palestinians have a right to defend themselves? That's the answer.
I believe. I'm not going to sit here and play a game.
The thing that complicates it for a lot of people, and this is understandable, is a lot of people think, since Hamas also is like an Islamist group, there's an element of, well, I just don't want to be associated with that in any way, shape, or form, right? So even in a scenario where Palestinians have a right to defend themselves, and Hamas is that wing of the Palestinians defending themselves, there's an ick factor to a lot of people because they're like, yeah, but you're Islamists, and I'm against the Islamism. And I am too. I'm against the Islamism. But we live in the real world, and Palestinians have a right to defend themselves, and any nation has, or any peoples have a right to defend themselves. And sometimes that comes in a package that's not roses and peaches and cream and rainbows and puppies, right? And so that doesn't change the principle of it, you know? And by the way, people don't hesitate to talk about Israel's right to defend themselves when Israel is an ethnostate and a theocracy, and there's ultra-Orthodox extremists who are running rampant in the government, right? So there's a little bit of an imbalance there as well.
Was it justified?
You are trying to distract from an ongoing genocide. You are trying to distract from an ongoing, because I'm not playing that game. Piers, I know that I stand on the right side of history by opposing a genocide, yeah. and you are an accomplice to it by sitting here and propagandizing
whatever. You
for
can use
any
you can use all that bullshit. You can bullshit
Israel.
That stuff as much as you like. But
this is incredibly aggressive.
I will give you one.
You're just a bunch of genocide.
I would love to know how he would respond to what my answer to that question was. Because my guess is he would really faceplant, because he would object to the idea that Palestinians have a right to defend themselves. I think he would object to that. I think he would object to the idea that Palestinians have a right to defend themselves. And then that's debate over. That's game, set, match. Because once you admit that, you're saying, I have a total double standard between Israel and Palestinians, and Palestinians need to just shut up, take it, and accept it, and hope conditions get better, right? So anyway, there you have it. Off the rails debate on Piers Morgan. Rania did a good job. She was fighting off three different people who disagreed with her, and they're trying to put her in a corner and get her to say certain things and sort of steer the conversation in the direction they wanted to. She did a good job there. The massive amendment I would have made is, again, I think it's actually pretty easy to handle the question, like, do you condemn Hamas? Do you condemn October 7th? Yeah, but the parts where they attacked innocent civilians, the part where they went after the military, this is politically incorrect to say, but it's totally true. 100% legitimate. Under international law, from a practical perspective, you going after the military? You've been occupied for decades and decades and decades. You have no rights. There's no justice, no freedom. You don't have your own nation state, even though Israel was granted one by the UN, and the UN is trying to grant you one, and Israel and the US blocks it. You have a right to defend yourself. And if you go after the military, sorry, it's fair. It's fair game. They could whine and cry and bitch and moan about it as much as they want. They are wrong if they do that. So anyway, that's my answer. This was a good one. This was a spicy one. Boy, oh boy, did we have a juicy day in court the other day for Donald Trump. So Michael Cohen testified, and he went insky, bro. So for those of you who don't know, Michael Cohen was basically, he's referred to as Trump's fixer. What that means is when Trump has any sort of problem, maybe a problem that's not for public consumption, this guy steps in, this guy addresses it, fixes it. He's a lawyer. And he's kind of like a very shady, sketchy type lawyer. And he was Trump's right-hand man for a decade, or maybe even a little more than a decade. Okay. So he comes out. He steps into the courtroom and he starts giving his side of the story. And by the way, a lot of his testimony is actually super crucial, because he is here to build the case that the money Trump paid to Stormy Daniels was solely about the campaign. And so, therefore, there was fraud in how it was reported, and it's a crime, and so there should be justice, and he should be found guilty for it. And his testimony absolutely led to that confusion. So the big thing, or that conclusion. So the big thing he said was Trump told him that, like, this has nothing to do with Melania. We're just trying to protect the campaign. She was like, "What about Melania?" And Trump's reaction was like, "Eh, you don't have to worry about that. That's, you know, that's nothing," right? Apparently, we learned from other testimony, they sleep in separate beds, right? So Trump was not concerned about, he wasn't spending the money to shut up Stormy Daniels to protect his marriage. His marriage was already shit. It didn't matter to him. He's like, "You don't worry about that." The point of spending the money was purely to help the campaign. So they go in, so he explains a number of different stories here where him, the CFO of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, and the guy, what's his name? David Pecker, I think it was. Hilarious name. The guy who was the head of the tabloid magazine that was doing hit jobs for Trump and defending Trump. They all had this little ring going. So we already discussed how Trump had like a literal fake news machine where he would pump out fake news about all of his opponents. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Hillary Clinton. You know, they speculated Clinton was going to die soon and she had some disease that's going to... you know, leave her dead within a year or some shit. They speculated that Marco Rubio was gay and was in a pool with a bunch of men. They said that Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK. I mean, it was insane, but they had a fake news operation for Trump on behalf of Trump. Part of that also was a catch and kill operation. Whenever there's a negative story about Trump that comes to David Pecker, Michael Cohen and the Trump campaign would pay David Pecker and then they'd kill the story. So, like, basically hear the story, take it, then kill the story so nobody even fucking hears about it, right? And there were a number of instances that Michael Cohen points out where it's like Trump owed money to this tabloid or to this person or to that person, a person that they were supposed to pay off because they had negative information on Trump. And Trump wouldn't even pay it. And so, like, Alan Weisselberg had to step in and pay it a few times, and Michael Cohen had to step in and pay it a few times. And there were times where Cohen paid for it, and then Trump didn't pay him back. And, you know, when Trump became president, Cohen was like, I'm going to be the personal attorney to the president, set up this new position, and I'm going to get paid for that. And instead of giving him a pay increase, he actually reduced his pay and still had him paying out shit that, you know, Trump didn't pay for out of his own pocket, which he should. And they set up a shell corporation to pay a lot of these people to try to hide it. And this is all stuff that Cohen was testifying to. And you get the sense when he's describing the inner workings of the machine, first of all, it's incredibly sketchy. Second of all, there's a lot of various crimes that were committed, the shell companies, the hiding the money, the misreporting it. The other thing he testified to is Trump was involved directly in every decision. He is a guy who, when it comes to this sort of stuff, he is nickel and diming. You know, Cohen talks about how one of his main jobs was to negotiate down vendors. If Trump was sent a bill for whatever work it might be for a part of the company, he'll look at it. He'll call them up. Cohen will call them up, the vendor, and be like, look, we're not going to pay this, but we will pay this. Will you accept this? And then part of his job is to negotiate stuff down. And Trump personally would sign off on all this stuff, which, again, helps build the narrative. Trump personally signed off on this payment to Stormy Daniels. And again, it was fraudulently reported, and it was specifically for the purposes of the campaign. Now, where he started to fail is he admitted in the testimony that he would lie from time to time for Trump. Like, his job is to lie for Trump. And then what happened is, in like cross-examination, Trump's lawyer got him to admit, like, well, if you were lying for Trump then, how do we know you're not lying for yourself now? Like, if you've already established that you are a liar, why should anybody take what you're saying now at face value? And so that was sort of a big, you know, that's a big moment where it depends how much the jury wants to read into that, how much they want to accept Michael Cohen at face value, if they dismiss his testimony or if they accept it. You know, that's what a lot of this is going to hinge on. But the bottom line is, he laid it all out there, man. He laid it all out there. He gave us all the dirt and the inner workings. And by the way, one of the things I was most surprised by reading the story is that they really thought, like, Trump, we think of Trump as Teflon. Like, oh my God, he survived every single fucking scandal against him, etc. But apparently when the Karen McDougal story was about to come out, that's the other woman he slept with, like Playboy model. When the Stormy Daniels story came out, he thought, like, I'm fucked. He thought, I'm going to lose so many points with suburban women. Women are going to hate me. The men might think it's cool, but the women are going to hate me. I'm not going to be able to win. And they were genuinely, really, and truly panicking over this. And one of their strategies was to push off the Stormy Daniels payment till after the election. They wanted to shut her up, but they said, hey, if I get elected, it doesn't matter if it comes out. I'm already president, so we're good. So one of the things that Cohen did was try to delay with Stormy. And people started getting pissed off at Trump because he got to the point where he wasn't paying anybody. He wasn't paying David Pecker and the tabloids anymore to kill the stories. He wasn't paying Michael Cohen. Other people were stepping in and paying for him. So some real bum-ass shit from Trump. But I don't know, pretty devastating testimony. We'll see how much it works against him. But remember, guys, we're at the point now where everything comes down to this case against Trump. This is the only criminal trial that's going to happen before the election. And so the Georgia case and the Jack Smith case, the Supreme Court picked up the question about presidential immunity, so that delays the Jack Smith case and the Georgia case way longer. And so we're not going to get an answer to that before the election. So everything hinges on this, right? And it's very easy to imagine if he gets found guilty, there's no way he can win. But if he gets found not guilty, it's very likely he does win, especially when you look at the polls these days and how they're looking for Biden. They're looking horrible for Biden. So we'll see what happens. But now you have Stormy Daniels spilling the tea in court. You have Michael Cohen spilling the tea in court, and we'll see what happens next. So Jon Stewart did a segment here where he went on the warpath against corruption and some particular characters who are like the most corrupt. So he's going to start with Menendez. He'll go in on Pelosi. He throws Hunter Biden in the mix there. It's just a phenomenal. It's a phenomenal segment here. Let's watch.
According to the New York Times, his lawyers now offering a new explanation as to why he had thousands of dollars in gold and in cash in his home. They say that the habit is rooted in traumatic family history.
These are simply my emotional support gold bars. whenever I am not with them, I get anxious. People respond to trauma in different ways. Now, when it comes to any trial, the first step, of course, and we've seen this play out endless times, finding an impartial jury.
Defense attorneys have proposed asking prospective jurors if they have opinions about people from New Jersey. And do they think that because they are from New Jersey, that they're more likely to break the law?
You motherfuckers. You bury one union leader at your football stadium whilst running a human organ trafficking ring through some Secaucus rabbis. And suddenly your whole state is a suspect. You believe this, Tone? Huh? Tone, you believe this?
Such a good show.
Anti-New Jersey discrimination. That's what it is.
Well, me and Crystal are rewatching that show right now, The Sopranos.
So obviously this is shaping up to be one of the more cartoonishly blatant corruption cases in some time. Jersey guy with gold bars stuffed in his jacket and a nice freezer of some halal meats.
He says halal meats because one of the corrupt schemes was like, was it some Egyptian guy? Was paying him a shitload of money. You know, he got luxury cars and gold bars and cash stuffed in suit jackets and shit. And I think one of the people who was paying him was some Egyptian dude who wanted a monopoly on halal meats, and he got it as a result of the corruption.
Anything else that might speak to the general character of this United States senator?
Menendez has denied any wrongdoing. According to court filings, his lawyers indicate he may try to blame his wife.
Yes, it's those three magic words that every woman is dying to hear. It was her! She did it! You know, I'd feel a lot worse for her if she wasn't also demonstrably a terrible person.
Nadine Menendez, wife of embattled New Jersey senator, killed man in 2018 crash. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's like Caitlyn Jenner.
Perhaps, read up on it. Perhaps. I can't explain everything right now. I'll just say this. It's f***ing awful. But perhaps the dumbest thing about this entire not quite believable Real Housewives episode is how unnecessary it all is. You, sir, are an elected official in America's most respected legislative body. It's like a license to print money. You don't need to break the law so cartoonishly when the legal corruption in the Senate is so f***ing lucrative.
That's right. I mean, they've basically legalized corruption, and he still found a way to do the illegal kind of corruption. What a f***.
Brings us to our new segment, Senator Robert Menendez. How dumb is you? Jersey resident, as a constituent of yours, Senator Menendez, I have to ask with all due respect, how f***ing dumb is you? Promising favors to foreign entities for a little chump change on the side? It's Bush League, when as a U.S. senator, you can enrich yourself in so many different, let's call them, legal ways. For instance, the stock market.
Members of Congress's stock portfolios consistently beat the S&P 500.
The average hedge fund was beating the market at 7%. The study found that the average U.S. senator was beating the stock market by 12%.
The average U.S. senator. And if you think it's because the average U.S. senator is just so smart, this is the average U.S. senator. Tommy Tuberville, an ex-football coach who doesn't know the three branches of government.
Oh, my God. Oh,
but when it comes to the stock market, he sees the matrix. How do they do it? Well, the secret is a shrewd understanding of the intricate interconnectivity of global markets. I'm kidding. They have inside information.
California Congressman, Democrat named Alan Lowenthal, his wife sold shares of Boeing March 5th of 2020. The very next day, the committee on which he serves in the House released a damaging report on the Boeing 737 MAX.
Oh, my God, what timing?
Oh, they're so corrupt. They're so corrupt, and they get away with it. In a world that made sense, you'd be locking them all up, bro. Lock them up, throw away the key. I've said this before. I think it's one of my more controversial takes, but I think you guys have actually received it relatively well. I think that corruption should be treated very similar to, like, murder or manslaughter, right? At the very least, like, grand larceny or something like that, because this is what destroys the fabric of a nation. When your elected officials are not representing the people, and they're just representing corporations and billionaires and in some instances, literal foreign governments. Hello, Israel. Hello, Saudi Arabia. Right. In Menendez's case, fucking Egypt and others. Right. Then we don't even have a functioning country anymore. We have a bunch of corrupt goons who are just trying to personally enrich themselves.
See, the rest of us only find out about Boeing's problems as we're being sucked out of the fuselage mid-flight, just flying out over the wing. You're flying in the air over the wings. Sell! Sell! I don't think they're good! And it happens all the time. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr received a private briefing in 2020 about how bad the COVID pandemic was going to be for America, and he immediately sold off his stocks, saving himself a small fortune. Of course, he had a reasonable explanation.
We wanted to ask you about those stock trades back in February of 2020. You know, the SEC says that you had material non-public information when you made those trades. I did look at what you put out. How is that not insider trading?
I'm so sorry, sir. I wanted to answer your question. If only there was a button that kept these elevator doors open. I don't know. By the way, for those of you at home who don't have a gold-plated elevator, you can avoid these types of questions yourself just by pretending to take the stairs. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't really tell you. I'm going to take the elevator back up. I would do that bit more, but my knees. As soon as I did the first one, because I didn't do it in rehearsal, I did it just now, and I was like, that's not a good idea. That's one of those where you're like, stop the taping and pull me back up. Now, you might be wondering to yourself, how does Congress get away with all this? Well, it may be because Congress is regulated by, let me check my notes, Congress! And it's Congress that has refused to even hold a vote on the bills that have been proposed to ban members of Congress from trading stocks. Because not letting members of Congress insider trade would be un-American. Just listen to one of the biggest beneficiaries of this stock windfall.
Should members of Congress and their spouses be banned from trading individual stocks while serving in Congress?
No, I don't know to this second one. This is a free market and people, we have a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that.
Ah, free market. Excuse me, Ms. Speaker, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm Martha Stewart from the Why the F*** Did I Go to Jail Time Speaking You. Why the F*** Did I Go to Jail? But here's the thing. In a free market, everyone has access to the same information. So unless you're going to put all of us on the committees, I don't get it. Now, to be fair, Congress does have rules against corruption. Members of Congress are not allowed to receive what might be viewed as enticements or bribes from lobbyists. No free concert tickets. They cannot accept food, baked goods, sandwiches, etc. It just would not be proper. But in Congress's infinite wisdom, they do allow organizations to set up what are called leadership PACs, where a congressperson can turn political donations from lobbyists into slush funds. A pharma lobbyist cannot buy a senator a panini and some NyQuil. But through the PAC, they can pay for 5-star hotels for Kirsten Gillibrand, luxury resorts for Ted Cruz, and even golf lessons for Rand Paul. Oh. It's all in Ayn Rand's famous book, Atlas Putted. It's corruption. Really?
These, like, giant fucking loopholes that just make them so brazenly corrupt. This is what the media should... We need to rely on a comedian on Comedy Central to give us all these facts. You'd never see anything like this on CNN, but this is grotesque, man.
That's my literate crowd. I read that in college, actually. This is corruption in plain sight. We won't accept gifts, but if I want to have a luxury experience and you would like to pay for it and then join me on said experience where we can discuss issues important to you and your industry, who's the wiser, right? Senator Mike Lee of Utah?
Shortly after this slopeside lunch for 22 friends, we decided to ask Senator Mike Lee just why he's doing this.
Politicians raise funds, and this is what we do.
I just want to do like this.
I enjoy skiing. Thank you very much. Yep. Thanks a lot.
From now on, I am ending every uncomfortable conversation I ever have about anything with, I enjoy skiing. Good day. Are luxury lobbying vacations still too much work, Senator Menendez? Because you could always write laws that directly benefit your side business, like the way Senator Chuck Grassley netted $370,000 in farm subsidies or the $5.3 million that California Rep. Doug LaMalfa got for his gentleman farm. And by the way, for that much money, you better be growing actual f***ing gentlemen. It's all legal and not a gold bar in sight. Or you can leverage your stature in government to get lucrative lobbying positions for your wife and your 3 kids, like Missouri Senator Roy Blunt.
I don't even understand why that would be a question. Everybody's family does something.
My father was a corporate lobbyist, like his father and his father before him.
Yes, everybody's family does something. For instance, your daughter might receive unusually green-lighted Chinese patents, or your son-in-law might receive billions in no-questions-asked Saudi investment, or your son might get a lucrative seat on a corporate board. Let's hear Hunter explain that one away.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably not.
Hunter's the most honest of all of them.
Holy shit. Out of all the senators and representatives who dodged and prevaricated and wouldn't answer any f-ing questions, you know you're in trouble when the most honest and transparent person in a story of government corruption is the ex-crackhead. Yeah. Now, you might... I don't know if I like John Stewart anymore. Now, you might think someone should step in and stop Congress from being able to enrich themselves. Perhaps the Supreme Court. Well, it will come as no surprise that the same guys who think it's fine to accept a luxury Winnebago from a wealthy businessman have made it much harder to police corruption. In a decision called McDonald versus the United States, they said that the appearance of corruption is not nearly enough for it to be considered against the law. It must be...
this very narrow quid pro quo idea. You know, I'm going to give you kind of like a cartoonish sack of money in exchange for an actual vote.
Whilst twirling my handlebar mustache.
Literally, that's what the ruling was, that it has to be, like, you have to have it recorded on video or audio, and it is a, let's do a quid pro quo. I will give you this, and you will give me that. And if you don't have that, they say, not enough. So they've legalized corruption. That's what they've done.
At every turn, our Congress and our courts have been given a choice. Be less corrupt, or redefine what constitutes corruption, and get on with your bad selves. It's a game of reverse limbo. Having trouble getting under the bar of corruption we've set? Well, how about now? Robert Menendez's gold bars in exchange for favorable legislation is obviously cartoonishly corrupt. But for anyone out there who thinks the status quo of government patronage and influence is of an entirely different species than Menendez, how dumb is you?
I mean, it's beyond grotesque, man. Look, the answer is actually very straightforward. The answer is a constitutional amendment to get money out of politics and mandate what's called clean elections, which is public financing of elections, and punish corruption very aggressively, right? Those are the answers. But the Supreme Court has basically stepped in and said the Constitution under the First Amendment of free speech allows this kind of corruption. So that's why you need, instead of doing a law, it needs to be a literal constitutional amendment, which, you know, famously is very difficult. So it looks like we're just stuck in this place where the status quo is like, they're all just super corrupt and we're all told to just look away and shut the fuck up and accept the system, right? Shit. I mean, what else is there to say about it? He's highlighting the problem better than I've ever seen anybody else highlight the problem, and the solutions are direct and straightforward and simple, but it also seems like climbing Mount fucking Everest in order to do anything about it. So, dark, man. Dark times. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We got some new numbers that came in. So, for a long time, Trump was leading, right? And then recently, I want to say a month or two ago, it looked like Biden was starting to surge a little bit. And in a lot of polls, they were tied. In some polls, Biden was up. So, it got to the point where, like, in the average of polls, Biden was up maybe a point or, like, 0.2 percentage points of a point, right? And it was looking like it was a dead tie. In fact, we did a segment not that long ago that was like, let me explain why this race is dead tied. Well, now we got some new polls that came in, and it turns out Biden is continuing to shoot himself in the foot because all of his little PR virtue signaling about how, oh, I'm not really with Israel, as he keeps sending them money and weapons and greenlighting everything they're doing, it's not working. And young voters are fleeing at 1,000 miles an hour. So look at this, man. This is a new poll from New York Times and Siena. In Nevada, Trump is plus 14 on Biden. In Arizona, Trump is plus 9. In Georgia, Trump is plus 8. In Pennsylvania, Trump is plus 4. Wisconsin, Trump plus 1. The only swing state Biden has got a little lead in is Michigan. That's it. That's it. Bro, let me explain something to you. If Nevada goes plus 14 for Trump, this race is over. It's over, over, over. Arizona is another one of those states where it used to be a red state. It's become more of a blue state because you have a lot of older suburbanites who've moved there to retire. And those older suburbanites are kind of anti-Trump. They don't like the drama, right? And that's why Biden won Arizona the last time. Trump being plus 9 in Arizona? If these numbers are anything remotely close to what the end result will be, Biden, I mean, it is red alert, man. It is full panic mode time. We played that video the other day of James Carville basically saying, nothing's fucking working. Nothing's working. We're throwing everything at the wall, nothing's sticking. Bro. Bro. Now, here's the thing. We're going to do a story on this tomorrow, but it actually is true that in all of the Republican primary races, Trump has been overvalued in the polls by like 7 or 8 points. So a poll in a state will say Trump is up 7 or 8 more points than he is. And then when the votes actually come in, he's down 7 or 8 points. And like you still have like default votes going to Nikki Haley, even though she dropped out. And so Trump is overvalued in the polls. I actually think that's fair. I think that's what the evidence shows at this point. Whenever we actually have elections and you compare it to the polls are still overestimating him compared to the end results. So that's true. But guys, stop and think about it. Even if you account for a 7 or 8 point Trump overestimation, he's still winning. He's still winning. It's a closer race, but he's still winning. And the fact of the matter is, homie has 91 criminal charges. Now it's actually 88. And he's in court every day. And he's doing insane rallies every day. And you can't beat him? You can't beat him. Man, Biden has shot himself in the foot so many times over. How many opportunities was he given? All you have to do is cut off the money and the weapons to Israel, condemn them at the UN, throw some sanctions on them. Do that. All you have to do is bring back, you know, those COVID-era social safety net programs. Well, those went away. Then people started hurting and the polls started going down for Biden. You got to help out poor middle-class people economically and stop supporting Israel. Bro, do that and then point out how insane Trump is, and then you probably would be up 5 points. But you're not doing it. They're never learning. And here's the part that should terrify you, bro, is that if they lose this race, which right now it looks like they're going to lose the race, you know what their takeaway is going to be? Their takeaway is not going to be, oh, damn, the left was right. We shouldn't have supported Israel so aggressively. Their takeaway is going to be, man, we went too far left. We need to go further right next time. We should have done even more support for Israel. This is what their takeaway is going to be. So we live in fucking hell. Because no matter what, their answer is always, go further to the right. Go further to the right. Every time. Every fucking time. This was probably one of his worst polls, in my opinion. You know, the average probably shows it a little bit closer than this, but the fact that you're not up at least 5 points should really be more than 10 points on a guy with 88 criminal charges. How pathetic. All right, guys, that's the show. I love y'all very much. Everybody do me a favor. Please like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Click that bell icon so you get a notification every time a video drops. You can support the show on Patreon below, or you can tip with the thanks button on YouTube. Remember, I don't talk to advertisers, so it helps out tremendously if you guys help out. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Peace.